Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
New season. New season. New season. It is Friday, which means it's time for the Front Three Premier League preview with me, Adam Bowen, Lawrence McKenna.
New season.
New season. And David Bryan as well.
Who will be the Gary Goals of the Premier League? That's what I want to find out.
That is the question on everyone's lips. Guys, we're going to be running through every single Premier League team, giving our predictions of where they're going to finish. Before that, though, comment of the week, as always, this week comes from Noel Alberto from the USA on the iTunes review, a 5-star rating. He said, "Yup, I'm the one who has been tweeting y'all about how long I've been following you. Seriously, you three have been brilliant from your days of Football Daily, which you got me subscribed to. Now I subscribe to you three here and recommend you to all my family and friends who follow football. Keep up the great work, lads. You're all top draw." Noel, thank you so much for your kind words. If you want to be comment of the week, get on iTunes, review and rate the podcast, and you could be that man. You could be that man or woman, you know, if you're out there.
Or, you know, whatever you want to be.
Or whatever you want to be. Guys, let's crack on. There's only one place to start in our Premier League preview, and that's at the end. It's West Ham. We're going to work our way up.
We should probably explain that logic, is because we did that during the Euros. We went F to A.
Everyone goes A to F. Everyone starts, you know, with Arsenal. We want to go backwards, you know. I think it's only fair. So let's start with West Ham. Now, Dave, I'm going to come to you on West Ham. It's an interesting time for them. Obviously, you've predicted famously or infamously that Slaven Bilic would be the first manager sacked last season. It didn't happen. They put together a fantastic campaign. Dimitri Payet, of course, was one of the stars of the Premier League last season. Moving into the new stadium, of course, do you think they're going to be able to build on that and improve upon last season's finish, Dave?
Well, you're going to admit sometimes that you're wrong, but I feel, yeah, West Ham will continue to improve. They've made some pretty decent signings in the window. I think Fagouli's going to be one of the signings of the summer, you know, picking up on a free transfer. When I saw him last season for Valencia, he looked disinterested because he was gearing towards this move away. I didn't think he played from February onwards, but go back to like his World Cup form or go back to his form at Valencia previously to that. He's a top player, very tricky winger, a little bit different to Payet in a way. He's more, you know, a bit more guile than Payet. Payet's more of an end product type man, you know, get the ball across or shoot, whereas Fagouli's more of a, you know, break, get the ball down, work an opportunity or, you know, come inside or so forth. So it's going to be an exciting attack for West Ham. I also think Andy Carroll could have a very, very good season. Looked very good in pre-season, scored a number of goals in there. Was awesome at the back end of last season as well, that hat-trick scored against Arsenal. When he's in the mood, he is a threat. You know, why did Liverpool pay £35 million for him? Because at one point he was very, very difficult to play against. And if he can keep fit, he could be the man that scores West Ham 15 league goals this season. With all that attacking creative talent behind them, can he get in the box? Can he score those goals? You know, West Ham have, Sacco looked like he was on the way. West Ham are sort of searching for another striker to play with Carroll. But I think Carroll this season could be his breakout West Ham season if he can stay fit.
Andre Ayew as well, of course. West Ham paid a record fee for him. There's some talk they're going to play
that's
him.
That's exciting, isn't it?
Up top, yeah. A very good signing. Seems like an astute one.
They're playing him a bit deeper, apparently, which is interesting. Yes, that'll be interesting. And also, if you like your fantasy team, he's listed as a midfielder.
He is indeed. Do you think there's going to be any sort of challenge, Lawrence, with them adjusting to the new stadium? Or is that going to be a big plus?
Oh, this is all a bit weird. I'm not sure we can play here.
Well, yeah, you know, it is a completely different situation for them. The bigger capacity, the talk about, oh, you know, the pitch is too far away from the stands. Is there any sort of adjustment in a new home like that? Or do you think, you know, replicating that atmosphere is going to be easy that they had at Upton Park?
I think definitely not replicating the Upton Park atmosphere, because that was a very intense ground, very close fans. Yeah. quite an enclosed stadium, you know, more old-fashioned, and that's why they wanted to move. And I think for West Ham, this is more of a story for them of coming of age. They, you know, they want to paint it as a club that's always been waiting for this sort of opportunity. You know, West sort of feel that, you know, they won the World Cup and those sort of things, and that they sort of been waiting in the wings.
It's an exciting time for them, has to be said. I'm looking forward to seeing.
I think the players feel the same.
Yeah.
As does Bilic. I think Bilic, you know, is incredibly proud to be at West Ham. And, you know, I think Dave's prediction is also one that's quite interesting now. It's going to be interesting to see. I think Dave said this, you know, when it's properly Slaven Bilic's system, then what's going to happen? And, you know, obviously he's had a summer now to shape the squad a little bit more. So let's see.
Finished seventh last season. I have predicted seventh again this year. Dave, are you going for a similar position?
I say that again. I think this factor will come in, but Lawrence mentioned the Sam Allardyce factor, or the Sam Allardyce effect, or the David Moyes effect, you know, Roberto Martinez at Everton. And I feel it'll be the same type of thing now, where defensively the first season there's a lot of structure that was from the previous manager. Whether Bilic is a good defensive coach, I'm not too sure. I think attacking wise he's got it down to a T. Players play with such freedom, they've got so much gusto going forward. So I feel West Ham will continue that goal scoring form, but maybe defensively they're going to leak a few more goals. So for me, I'm going to drop them down three places. I'm going to think I finish about 10th.
Wow.
That is a lot low. I mean, the difference is here that a few years ago, maybe in the Premier League, West Ham might have struggled as a side because, you know, other sides were more shut down and, you know, they expected teams to attack and just sort of press back. I think there's going to be a lot of sides this season who are a lot more open again. So let's see how that plays out.
Have you got a prediction for a finish, Lawrence?
Nah, not really.
All right, moving on to West Brom. Not the most exciting team last season, it had to be said. There is some discontent there, I'd say, with Tony Pulis. Looks like Seda Berahino could be moving on, Lawrence.
Yep.
If they miss that sort of player, if they don't replace him, just feel like they're going to be in trouble. I've got them finishing pretty low this season.
Where's pretty low?
I've gone for 16th.
So just staying up,
essentially. Yeah, I think it's going to be a battle down there between a few teams, and West Brom are definitely going to be in the mix.
I mean, the problem is that a side like West Ham were for many years a yo-yo club, and now they're very much changing that into trying to stay in the Premier League consistently. Over the past few seasons, I think in the league, where did they finish? They finished 14th last year.
14th,
I think they did better the year before, actually. I think they finished slightly higher up the table at least. And I just wonder if this year, you're right, 15th is maybe closer to where they're going to be, mainly because sides, especially when they don't change too much in the summer, tend to, I'm trying to think of the word, stagnate.
Yeah, it's an interesting one in that there's been a deal agreed for them to sell the club to a Chinese investment group. I mean, it could bring instability, Dave. It could bring, you know, new funds, could bring new ambitions for the club. But the feeling is, at least for me, that, you know, they're not going to do much to excite this season again.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a bit of an issue. You know, look at the goals conceded last season. They were pretty decent. They conceded 48 Premier League goals. So that was only backed by Manchester City, Southampton, Leicester, Arsenal, Man United and Spurs. So that's a pretty good club to be in. You're in the top half club there. But you go to goals scored. Only Aston Villa scored fewer goals than in the Premier League last season. 34 league goals in 38 games is pretty rubbish. That's less than a goal a game. That is pretty boring. I think that's where the discontent from fans has come from. But it's a Tony Pulis side. Tony Pulis needs to get a forward that's going to score goals. Christian Benteke has been heavily linked. They sign him, I think they'll be fine. But you've got the likes of, you know, they've got the defence that's so solid. Johnny Evans has been brilliant since joining West Brom. Darren Fletcher looks like the old Darren Fletcher, really running the show, being aggressive in midfield. They're hard to beat, very much like any Pulis side. They're very, very hard to beat. So I think that they're going to be about the same. I think 15th. I think they'll get over that 50 points mark, as always. But it'll be another season where fans will start to turn on Tony Pulis.
Next up, Watford. Walter Mazzarri, obviously, in. You'd imagine they're going to be relying again on Troy Deeney, on Ighalo for the goals. But do you feel the new manager, Dave, do you think he's going to bring in any tactical changes which are going to help them build upon at least what Sanchez Flores was doing in the first half of last season before they slumped so badly in the second half?
Yeah, I think definitely there's going to be some tactical change there. Mazzarri is a massive fan of the 3-4-3, playing with a back three. Three very interchangeable forwards. You know, go back to the Napoli days, Hamsik, Lavezzi and Cavani, one of the most lethal front threes in world football when he was there. If he can get that out of Troy Deeney, Ighalo, and I really like the signing they brought in from Granada, Isaac Success. When I saw Granada a few times last season, Isaac Success was just a standout player, really good with the ball at his feet, very tricky, aggressive, was getting shots away, a very physical forward. And if they can get those three players there, Deeney maybe sitting in the middle, Ighalo on one side, Isaac Success the other, could be quite a nice combination. But again, it's going to be defensively where they're going to have to adjust to this back three. We saw how Sevilla in the European Super Cup struggled a little bit defensively with the back three. Going forward, you could already see the advantage of playing a back three in terms of the angles and the passing that they were getting down. But defensively, they were getting stretched. And if how I kind of see the Premier League, that it's going to transition to teams playing with a 4-5-1 or a 4-3-3, playing with the back three is going to be very dangerous because those wide forwards in the 4-3-3 are going to stretch a back three. Sevilla had a problem doing that, and they've got a very, very good coach, Sampaoli, who's very comfortable at that. So it's going to be a big, big test for the new Watford boss to get that across to the players. Maybe you won't even start doing that. We've seen Conte's gone away from the three at the back. So I feel like it's going to be a test at the start. But if they can nail that, they'll have a very exciting counter-attacking side.
What position they have also lost a vast number of us. Well, I think they've lost. I think it was 12 players they've lost there.
Right.
And I mean, they've lost half a dozen of those. So they've lost quite a few players. Six players overall leaving, and then another six sort of looking to leave. And I just wonder the rotation within the Watford team and how they've looked to build this squad. Have they done it in the right way? I know they've kept certain players, and that's important, but have they added the right players? And Dave's saying yes to maybe one or two, but I don't know if they've added enough.
Dave, what's your prediction for the finish for Watford?
See, I think they're going to struggle a little bit at the start. I feel that, you know, the new style of football is going to take a little bit of time to get adjusted to. So I've gone with 16th. I think that it's going to be a sort of a very tough second season for Watford, but I feel they've just got enough to stay up with the likes of Troy Deeney. Ighalo as well, his goals dried up towards the end of last season, scored the majority of his goals in the first half of the season, and then Deeney became the main man. I feel like Deeney will be the main man again, playing as maybe a little bit as a false nine in a way, like coming towards the ball, holding it up and letting Isaac Success and letting Ighalo run in behind him. But I think it's going to be an exciting season for Watford, but I think they will concede a lot of goals, maybe score a lot of goals. So again, another sort of West Ham team where could be very, very different, but I feel we're going to go with 16.
Gone for 17.
How many times do you think that moment of great success?
I didn't hear that question, sorry. It broke up halfway through. So.
Oh, how many times a season do you think we're going to hear that the Borat thing of great success?
Loads, Lawrence, loads. Because Isaac is going to bag some goals.
Great.
I like it. Success. Okay, Spurs.
Yeah, Adam, talk to us.
It's a difficult one. It's a difficult one to evaluate. I think Spurs are going to have pretty much the exact same starting 11 from last season, which I don't think many teams can be said for many teams. I think we've added well in areas that we need to in terms of Victor Wanyama. That was a good deal, 11 million. Needed cover for midfield, for the likes of Eric Dier. Vincent Janssen is, you know, much needed backup for Harry Kane, who was our only senior striker last season. I feel that we're lacking, the thing with Spurs and the thing with last season, we were lacking game changers off the bench. Even though our starting 11 was fantastic, and I think Mauricio Pochettino has really done an incredible job to fit all these players into such an effective system, you know, moving Eric Dier into the midfield, getting the best out of Moussa Dembele, you know, slotting in Dele Alli behind Harry Kane, it all worked so perfectly. But players like Heung-Min Son, Nasser Chadli, they're good players, but when they came on, they didn't necessarily have the impact to turn around the game. So I feel like we're missing that piece, essentially. It's difficult for Spurs because, you know, we've obviously got a restricted budget with the finance and the new stadium. So there's players like Nkudu we're going for, about 11 million. He's got that pace that I think Pochettino is looking for to potentially try and change a game coming off the bench. That doesn't look like it's going to go through. He's been in London for about 3 weeks. He's had a medical and nothing's happened since then. Look like Spurs
hasn't your head scout also quit?
Yes, that's the one. That's one worrying sign. You know, that sort of discontent that, you know, the headline in The Guardian was that, you know, Mitchell's dream job turned into a nightmare, essentially, I think.
That's quite dramatic.
Yeah, it seemed like he had some differences with Levy. This sort of Nkudu situation where Spurs are refusing to pay, I think, you know, it's 11 million the fee. It's not the biggest fee in football, but they're refusing to pay it up front. They want to do it in certain installments over time, which the Marseille's not happy with. It's those sort of situations where it seems like that's when the Paul Mitchell's left, and Pochettino has spoken of his disappointment about that. And Mitchell was reportedly the guy who identified Vincent Janssen as the man to bring in. At the same time, Pochettino is making all the right noises in terms of, he said he's the only manager to give a pre-season rollicking before kicks off. Because about the Newcastle game, he sort of said there wasn't the time to really digest that and sort of speak about it at the end of the season. But he's spoken to players about it. He said that he was worried that they'd need a lift after the end of that season, after disappointing Euros for the likes of Hugo Lloris for France and obviously all the England players. He says they're in good condition, they're in good spirits. And I think that's the thing with Spurs. I mean, infamously, Lawrence talks about mentality. I felt like at the time it wasn't their main problem. The main problem for me at Spurs was strategically, they never had the right manager, they never made the right signings. That was something that was holding them back. I feel like now we've got Pochettino, who's fantastic. We've got a fantastic squad, a fantastic starting 11. You look at last season, especially towards the end. I mean, I think Spurs lost 20 points from winning positions last season. Only Chelsea, who had a complete implosion, managed to lose more. So if we can sort of eradicate that sort of problem,
if we can not implode this season, that would be great.
At the same time, Pochettino said himself, and I think a lot of fans felt that way, although it was so disappointing, that Chelsea game last season was such a blow. To see Spurs actually put some fight into a game and not wilt in one way was encouraging for us. And I think,
wasn't that the wilting? But they wilted in a different way, which is nice, but they did wilt.
Yeah,
they lost a real crunch game, and how they reacted to that was good. Maybe that'll come back.
That's the silver lining I'm taking from it.
I don't know. I feel like if it was a crunch game, I feel Leicester, it looked like they were always going to run away in the end with the league. And, Spurs were in with an outside chance. And I think Leicester knew that, and so did Spurs. And I think instead of losing it in that sense, I do think you're right, but I don't think they lost it in the sense that everyone feel, like Liverpool did a few seasons before that.
Yeah. Like I said, the signs are good. I feel like we can only improve. It's so hard to judge, but I have gone for third place. I know it seems a little bit ambitious, but looking at Arsenal at the moment, I feel they haven't strengthened enough. We'll come on to them, of course. But for me, I think Spurs will finish in the top four, and I've gone for third.
You spur that.
Dave, are you as optimistic as me, or are you going to give us a different prediction?
I think Spurs is a real difficult one. They've got one of the best triviums, as you call it, in the Premier League with Eriksen, Dele Alli and Harry Kane. All those players play a brilliant role in the Spurs system. Harry Kane obviously leading the line, being that sort of target man, but also dropping deep and playing those through balls. A brilliant forward, 25 league goals last season, top scorer in the Premier League. Then you've got Dele Alli, who makes the opposite movement. If Kane comes to the ball, Dele Alli runs the other way, which is perfect. That's what you want in football. That maintains your vertical power going forward. Dele Alli was directly involved in 19 goals last season in the Premier League. That's the best record for any player under 21 in Europe's top five leagues. And then, of course, the main man, Christian Eriksen. If Kane's dropping a little deeper, Ali's running in behind, that space opens up for Christian Eriksen. And that's why I love the Spurs system so much. It was so fluid and so good on the counter-attack. 13 assists for Christian Eriksen in the league last season. Probably one of my favourite midfielders to watch, so good on the ball. The consistency was always the issue at Ajax, and I feel like now he's finally maturing, he's becoming a top player for Spurs. So, but given that, I just can't see them, just because of the strength of the league, I can't see a repeat performance of being in the top four. I've got Spurs in fifth position, Adam. I apologise.
I'll forgive that. I think it's going to be tight. Lawrence, do you think they can finish in the top four?
Ninth.
Ninth
and nothing above, Adam.
Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah, we all know. Well, all I'm going to say every time that we say where are they going to finish in the table is Leicester City.
I've got my fingers crossed.
You upset?
No. I'm
also, the balance of football this season, that's going to be a tricky one for Spurs, isn't it?
Yeah. I think, Pochettino said we need to make two more signings. If we make those signings, and depending on who they are, obviously that influences it. But hopefully for now, I'm going for top four finish. Third place, Swansea City. Now, I feel a little bit worried about Swansea. I've got them to go down, guys. They've just sold their club captain, Ashley Williams, to Everton. They brought in Leroy Fer, who's a decent player, but I just feel like, you know, they're sleepwalking towards relegation, I feel like, personally. They haven't made the moves in the market.
Hasn't Leroy Fer been relegated at every single club, every single permanent club he's played for?
Whenever I see him, I'm like, he looks decent. I'm always like,
yeah, QPR, Norwich.
It's all
Poison Chalice, that lad.
That's what I'm telling you. They're going down. They're going down. I think they're going to finish 18th. Dave, is there anything to cheer up Swansea fans?
Yeah, I think so. I think the manager that's coming from Italy is finally getting his sort of style of play across, you know, very... maybe a little bit more direct than they played previously, but they've made some good signings for me. I like, you know, Gylfi Sigurdsson is there already. He's going to be the focal point. Yeah, ever since the new manager came in, he was the goal scorer of the team. What they've done is they've bought two strikers in. They've replaced Gomez. He's gone back to France.
Good.
But they've got Fernando Llorente. I am a big Fernando Llorente fan from his days at Athletic Bilbao. So, so good as a target man. So physical. That Bilbao, the Bielsa Bilbao team, work because Llorente was so good at holding those direct balls forward, bringing other players into play, which just means that Gylfi Sigurdsson has a man to run off, which would be perfect. Or if they want to go the other way, they've just bought Borjan Baston from Atletico Madrid for a record fee. You know, the lad last season played for Eibar and scored 18 league goals. That is decent. Eibar were rubbish last year. He was the shining light there. He's a good player. I was pretty surprised Atletico let him go. You know, they've got Fernando Torres up top. Griezmann's obviously the main man there. But could have been interesting to see Borjan Baston go back there. But I think he's a top signing again. But I'd sort of reiterate what you were saying before, Adam. It is a bit of a worry. They've lost the captain. £10 million for Ashley Williams. Why let him go for £10 million? Mm. What's £10 million for a Premier League club? He's your captain. Don't let him go. Offer him everything. Offer him the world. What is Everton, though? Everton is a very... interesting proposition, but also a very dangerous proposition. For me, it would have been better for Ashley Williams to see out his career at Swansea and just become, you know, increase his legendary status there. It was just a real weird, really strange move for me.
Where do you think they're going to finish, Dave?
This one's another tough one. Just scrolling down my list, you know, that I've got them at 13th. Feeling like struggle. I think those goals there, I think the goals up front, I feel those two strikers, a big variation in their styles of play. Big variation in what you could do with those two strikers. Gylfi Sigurdsson's still there. I just feel that I think they're going to be one of those teams that's just going to slip a little bit under the radar, but they'll do okay.
Do you think they're going to be? Surely they're going to be in the relegation dogfight, though, Lawrence.
I think they'll probably finish just above that. Yeah. I mean, essentially, what we're looking for is for them to. Bed those players in quickly that have signed, and I think that is what's going to be key. The culture at Swansea has been that they've always been allowed to do that, but there are a lot of signs that would go counter to what is normally successful in the Premier League. However, you know, again, after recent seasons, you wouldn't put it beyond them. My only worry with them is they look like now quite a lightweight side, and I think they're, for that reason, I'd worry that they'd lose too many games. Yeah. Because they're going to get bullied by other sides. I think other teams are much more physical in the Premier League now.
I am excited to see Fernando Llorente, someone who's been linked to a move to the Premier League for absolutely ages. So it'd be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool
can cut it. Yeah,
linked with him years ago when he was really at the top of his game.
Let's move on to Sunderland, of course. Disappointment of losing Sam Allardyce to the Free Lions. They've brought in David
Moyes. Or the elation.
Or the elation. I if I was a Sunderland fan, I'd be disappointed. You know, they managed to keep them safe last season. For then him to move on straight away is not ideal. But David Moyes coming in, who, let's not forget, obviously
Big
the Manchester
club in 4 years, obviously ex-Manchester United manager. He's got pedigree.
But obviously the Manchester United job hurt his reputation. Obviously the Real Sociedad situation did as well. It feels like this fits though, Lawrence, for me. I think David Moyes is a good manager. I feel like some people now, they overlook the job he did at Everton. He's obviously going to be able to prove himself. Do you think he's going to be able to do that at Sunderland? Do you think he's going to be given the resources, the signings to do so? Or do you think he's going to struggle?
I think David Moyes is probably the right kind of figure at a club like Sunderland because of what he represents. I think most people sort of see Sunderland as a sleeping giant as well, like they did with Everton at one point. And I think he's clearly got the managerial nous to be able to take on a number of different coaches. But what I wonder is, and that's my issue, is I haven't seen Sunderland in pre-season, but it seemed a lot like Moyes was a fish out of water as soon as he left Everton, because his methods were so embedded within the club. And that was very much just before the introduction of this more intense football in the Premier League. And I think he really struggled in that when he went to Manchester United. And I just wonder how well his Sunderland side's going to be able to cope with the intensity of the Premier League. Because last season, they really struggled to cope against so many teams, hence why they finished 17th.
Yeah, you know, with David Moyes there, Dave, they're going to continue to be hard to beat in a way. But what have you made of their signing so far? They've got Papi G, I can't even say his name, Gilubogi from Chelsea. Obviously got Paddy McNair and Donald Love from Manchester United. Yan Azai on the way as well, apparently, surprisingly.
Yeah. The Yan Azai thing was confirmed today. And for me, that's an excellent move for David Moyes and for Sunderland. You know, Yan Azai is a player of such talent. A player that has everything to be a top class footballer. He's got great body balance, which is one of those things that is up there with, you know, Lionel Messi, Kaká, that type of body balance. Or, you know, or Gaia, whatever you want to call it. He can shoot off both feet, he can pass, he can cross, he can beat a man. The only issue that his problem has been, his attitude has been stinking. Really terrible attitude. Thomas Tuchel said it. It was blatantly obvious. Louis van Gaal didn't like his attitude. Apparently as well, the camp, he's not the smartest fella. You know, when he was given certain tactical instructions, he wasn't following them. That is an issue for a player. If you want to be the best player in the world, you need to be able to do that. But what Yan Azai was under David Moyes was a breath of fresh air for that Man United team. Was given the freedom, looked so good. He was a player, you know, I think he was 18 or 19 years old at that point, and he was, you know, pulling the side out of a really shit slump. So I think he's the perfect man for David Moyes and for Sunderland. Feel given that flair on the counter attack, and I really hope Yan Azai makes it. But I hope it's time for him now to step up. He started last season very, very well. That brilliant goal he scored against Aston Villa, that highlights his talent. His issue was his application, and you need both of them. Unfortunately, as a footballer, other people that I think, you know, is quite good for Sunderland. You know, Moyes spoke about playing Jack Rodwell at centre back again. Jack Rodwell looked really, really good under David Moyes at Everton. I'm hoping that he can pull his career back from a bad
the brink.
From the brink. The brink is the brink. There's a lot of these players at Sunderland right now that are at the brink, or were at the brink. Jermaine Defoe was at the brink. Yan Azai's at the brink. Rodwell's at the brink, which is positive for Sunderland. That's good to create a unit. Kazari, I'm a big fan of Kazari from his days at Bordeaux. Very good from set pieces. David Moyes loves someone from set pieces. So that could work out quite nicely. So I quite like this Sunderland team. I feel that they potentially might lack a big striker.
Fellaini, Dave?
Fellaini would be a good option, but I think Fellaini's going to play for Manchester United next season. I think Mourinho sees an option there tactically, and I do agree with that, but not every week. That's my only thing with Fellaini. He can't be a go-to man. He needs to be an option from the bench or in the bigger games. But again, going back to David Moyes, he has struggled with strikers before in his career. Sometimes he's found it very difficult to get strikers to score goals. Unfortunately, he's fallen in Sunderland, where Jermaine Defoe scored 15 Premier League goals last season, a lot coming in 2016. I think Ernie Aguero scored more in that period in the Premier League. So I feel like potentially, hopefully, he can get that down. But he does prefer a more target man to that striker, or a target man at number 10. So Sunderland, I think they're going to be all right. I've got them down at 14th. I think they're going to be fine from relegation, but it'll be a situation where they may struggle at the start, but they'll hit some flow. David Moyes, remember his Everton team? Everyone remembers his United team. His Everton team was so good against big teams. They were so good at upping the
Everton
tempo against
him, though, Dave, because he had a lot of iterations that Everton
team.
Yeah,
a lot of them.
Thomas Gravesen,
didn't they? They always turned up in those bigger games. They always were very, very good at pressing from the offset and setting the tempo. You know, the likes of Liam Osman pressing from the front, players you mentioned, Gravesen. Stephen Pienaar, you know, a lot of talent there. And I hope for David Moyes, I feel like we ruined him a little bit at Manchester United. I hope he does get back onto the management track and gets back to what he was doing before, winning football games and having a very nice team that worked together.
I love a nice team.
I have gone for 13th for Sunderland. I think that's... I think, you know, Moyesy. Moyesy's going to be back. He's back. Stoke City next, obviously finishing ninth, three seasons in a row. Are they going to be able to improve upon that this year, Lawrence?
You know what I thought about Stoke last season was that they were a side who they only lost one more game than they won. They won 14 games in the Premier League last year and finished ninth for the third season in a row. Now, if we were talking about stagnation with West Brom, then they've looked to change it up here in Stoke and add a few more players, such as Joe Allen, into this side. I think they've tried to add into that formula, but the worry is that it could also go the other way for Stoke and that they've built a side with so many different parts and so many different bits that it almost doesn't make much sense anymore. And I do worry a little bit that Stoke are sort of going down the Mark Hughes route of possibly losing a couple of games, losing a manager like Mark Hughes, and then ultimately sacking him and then not having anyone who can come in and bring all these parts together. It's a very Mark Hughes side. And I think he's going to be quite key to getting good results from this season. I'm really excited to see what Joe Allen does there. I think, you know, a lot of people very excited to see him because, you know, Liverpool fans appreciated what he did at their club at the time. And they actually did think that he stepped up quite often, despite most people calling that boring. And they've obviously Afellay is not there anymore, which is a little bit disappointing. I think a lot of people are looking forward to seeing what would happen with him, whether he'd explode or sort of go further down. So there are some interesting factors attacking wise. And, you know, they've got the good old stalwarts of that Stoke team, the Peter Crouches, the Walters, etc. And not only that, but I think that line's going to be led by Arnautovic.
Signing a new contract is a good, good signing in itself. Obviously, like Joe Allen, as you said. Jack Butland back after his injury, Dave, as well. Do you think there's talk that they're in the race to sign Berahino? Do you think that's going to add the extra firepower that might elevate them to a higher position than ninth or lower?
Lawrence summed up perfectly. It's a very strange team. There's a lot of strange cogs in there, and it is up to Mark Hughes to link them all together. You know, I don't know why I decided to watch some more Gans Pedersen highlights. Just because we were talking about with my flatmate about how United, and we watched his highlight reel, and he scores some great goals. He's like a type of player that just like hits it too hard unnecessarily. Go and jump onto YouTube and just go through his goals. It's brilliant. But that's a very Mark Hughes type player, a player that's like wouldn't fit anywhere else, but it fit for Mark Hughes. And someone like Arnautovic signing a deal is brilliant. I imagine he tried to get a move in the summer, but it didn't materialise. So I thought, why not stay at Stoke? You know, 11 Premier League goals last season, Stoke's top scorer. I think that was the issue with Stoke, is that their goals dried up with Arnautovic, and it dried up for the whole side. So Berahino, if they can get Berahino, I'd say that they do better than what they were doing. But I think with the Berahino thing, is it West Brom are just holding him? They're like choking him out of life. And if Berahino moved, I feel that Stoke would potentially hit higher up the league, but I can't see it going through. And that's why I've kind of gone with 12th position. I feel they might drop down what happened last season. They do have the hipster's dream in midfield with Mbeumo and Joe Allen. I can't wait to see that. I love Mbeumo. I talked about him a lot before. Still think he is a top, top player, and with another good season could have a move to a better club. But Joe Allen and Mbeumo is going to be great. You know, passing, very calm midfielder in Joe Allen, and then Mbeumo that sort of potentially will play the Pogba role for Stoke in a way, linking the midfield and attack and pressing and doing all sorts. So yeah, I'm quite excited to watch Stoke, and I do hope that Bojan has another very good year. No player that very low confidence in his career early doors, and it's starting to look at home in Stoke, which is nice.
I think the Pogba role.
I've gone for 10th. I think they won't keep on 9th, but not quite as low as you, Dave. What about Southampton? Another interesting cycling away for them. Once again, the manager leaving, a crop of key players leaving. They've brought in an experienced manager, Dave. They've brought in some good signings. Nathan Redmond, Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, I believe it's pronounced, from Bayern Munich. So do you think they can pull off a similar trick again, if you would? Do you think they can have another strong season?
Yeah, I think getting Claude Puel in from Nice, massively overachieving for Nice, won the French League before. A very good manager, a manager that likes to play four at the back, three in midfield, and then one attacking midfielder behind two strikers. Paul's spoke about Nathan Redmond. Nathan Redmond's a really interesting player. When I watched him at Birmingham City, he was always really good playing as a striker or playing as like an attacking midfielder. And apparently that's what is going to be done. He's going to be playing in a striker position. So maybe Shane Long and Nathan Redmond up front with one man behind who's going to be the key to everything here, and that's Tadic, who had a pretty decent season last season, 12 assists, only bettered by Eriksen and Mesut Ozil. So again, it's going to be so interesting. Højbjerg is a fantastic signing. One of the best young midfielders in world football for me. A bit of a silly move. I reckon he probably should have moved a permanent deal last season, not going on loan to Schalke. He didn't really cement his position in that team. Augsburg, he was brilliant. The second half of the season, so we're going back 2 years in the Bundesliga, second half of that campaign, he's got a great cannon of I think it's his right foot that he can crack it in from range. But an all-round top midfielder, a very Bayern Munich-esque midfielder, you know, the complete package. So he's going to be very impressive. It's going to be interesting to see whether James Ward-Prowse finally steps up, whether Harrison Reed continues his good form. Jordi Klaassi, who was brought in with great potential. But with Southampton, it's all about the model. I've spoke about the model so many times. I wish any club in world football should adopt the Southampton model, but I feel it's there. They've got one of the best centre-backs in the Premier League in Virgil van Dijk. They've still got what Ryan Bertrand back. They've got Fraser Forster. You know, they're still a really good team. It's so interesting. Every season they lose a key man in quotation marks, but they've got this scouting system. They just laugh it off. They're like, oh yeah, we saw that coming 2 years ago. Yeah, good one, lads. We're just going to pull a lad in from the academy who's going to be absolutely boss. So yeah, cool. See you in seventh position anyway, lads, above Everton.
What, you're going for seventh?
Seventh position. I feel that it's going to come together with Salah. I feel they're going to be really good on the counter-attack with a lot of pace.
I went for 11th.
Wow.
I just felt that there were other teams who might be stronger above them. But I respect what you're saying, Dave. I mean, Lawrence, are you going for... Do you think you're going to finish the bottom half of the top half, essentially?
I'm going to go 7-11. Okay. I'll go 9.
Yeah, nice. Right bang in the middle. I like that. I like that a lot. What about Middlesbrough? Fantastic season last season. Can they stay in the Premier League?
The wheels almost fell off with Karanka, though, didn't they? There was a point where it looked pretty. But then he came back. They went on.
Signed up to Twitter, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, and that was critical. And it was at that point that I thought, he gets it now. He's going to just tweet all his tactics. With Middlesbrough, it's incredibly exciting because they're signing all these players. There's a couple of...
The business looks good on the surface, I'd say.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a couple of guys out there that you think, you know what, they find the form that we know they've embodied in the past, then that's going to be great. But it's a bit, there's sort of shades of like that Ravanelli sort of Janino-esque Middlesbrough that we remember from, God, how long ago was that now in the Premier League? Like 15, 20?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe the early 2000s.
Yeah. I mean, that's a while ago now, but there's shades of that in that they brought these big names in to complement some of the guys who have brought them up. And it's critical that those names perform in the Premier League. Middlesbrough is a great club and a great city. And I think a lot of people enjoy going there. And I just wonder, have they signed the right players to enjoy the Middlesbrough experience and embrace that?
Yeah, what do you reckon, Dave? Because, I mean, Victor Fischer's there, Football Manager favourite, experience in the Greater, experience in Valdez, and compared to the teams around them, it feels like those sort of signings, that sort of injection could see them finish. I've put them 15th.
You said, I think they've got, mentioned before, Karanka, a fantastic boss, a Mourinho disciple. Again, remember we went back to the disciples of Bobby Robson and so forth. Karanka fits under that, which is, I love that. I love that he's still there. Looking at some key players there, Adam Clayton is going to be massive for them. In central midfield, ex-Leeds United, completed more passes than any other player in the Championship last season, so he's going to get a lot of ball. Defensively is where they're going to be very strong, 21 clean sheets in the Championship. But I think up front is going to be a place where they're going to have to not get lucky, but they're going to have to focus on one of the men, whether it's Negredo or I think it's going to be Jordan Rose. If you were wanting to call someone the Gary Goals of the Football League in the last... 8 seasons, it would be Jordan Rose. You know, going to go through his goals from 2009-2010. So that was in League One for Huddersfield, 23 goals. Next season, 22 goals. Next season, 40 goals. Next season, 30 goals. 25, 21. And then 17 last season when it was an injury hit campaign and he was moving, so he didn't play as much football. But if you're getting what I'm coming at, the guy knows how to find, put the ball in the back of the net. And I feel the step up to the Premier League for Jordan Rose is going to be an easy one. But Karanka needs to decide, is it Negredo or is it Rose? Because he likes playing one up front. And I feel like he's got to go with one, not both.
Manchester United, Dave. Mourinho's in. The whole new spine of the team's in. Paul Pogba's there. The world record transfer, of course. Everyone is expecting a a top four finish. Everyone is expecting a title challenge. How do you see them getting on? I've gone for second.
I think it's their season. I feel that this is, they've done some absolutely fantastic business. You think about Europe's top five leagues. In Liga, the best player was Zlatan Ibrahimovic, plays for Manchester United now. The best player in Serie A last season, for me, was either Gonzalo Higuain up front or Paul Pogba. Who's Paul Pogba play for now? Manchester United. Then you go over to the Bundesliga, best player there, Lewandowski, Aubameyang. Best midfielder, Mkhitaryan. Who does Mkhitaryan now play for? Manchester United. And I feel that's something that's going to take some time to blend, but the question still remains. It's Wayne Rooney. He's been a struggle for David Moyes. It was a struggle for the last season of Alex Ferguson, and he's going to be a struggle. It was a struggle for Louis van Gaal, and he's going to be a struggle for Mourinho. He needs to be dropped. Can't say it more. Sorry, it's time for Wayne to be moved on. It's time for Wayne to be pushed back into a backseat. We saw in the Community Shield that Rooney and Zlatan were getting in each other's way, and that is a big issue tactically, because you need the, you know, if I was talking before about Harry Kane and Dele Alli, like the perfect relationship where one drops, one runs, one drops, one runs, that's complete opposite with Zlatan and Rooney. Both make the same movement, similar to when Robin van Persie came to Manchester United, and it took that partnership a long time to get going, and eventually at the end of the season Wayne Rooney's dropping deeper, playing that ball over the top against Aston Villa for van Persie to smash in one of the best goals in Premier League history. But that took time. I feel that Rooney's just got to be pushed out the side. I feel like a move to a 4-5-1, 4-3-3, it's got to happen to get the best out of one man, that's Paul Pogba. But I also don't mind them playing a 4-2-3-1 against weaker players, you know, getting another attacking midfielder in there, playing Paul Pogba as this link man, this number eight, this man that can defend, that can attack, that can score goals, that can get assists. One man, though, that I feel is going to link everything and is crucial to this Manchester United team this season is Jesse Lingard. I feel he's going to be the man that's going to link everything together. The lad works hard. He's starting to put influences in an attacking thing. He's scoring goals. But I feel he's the worker. He's the Oscar for Mourinho. He's the guy that's going to click everything together for this whole system. And if Mourinho, I think, already knows that. You know, we saw them starting the Community Shield. I feel Jesse Lingard has got a massive season. I love that. I love the player for Manchester United is doubting. I doubted him a bit last season for his lightweightness on the ball, but I want him to prove me wrong. I want him to do the Darren Fletcher. I want him to become, you know, a Man United stalwart, you know, a player like Scholes, like Ryan Giggs, like Gary Neville, like Phil Neville, like John O'Shea, these players that are cogs, but cogs within a really good system. You always need your cogs. We mentioned before all these world-class talent. You need players like Jesse Lingard in there. You need Morgan Schneiderlin. You need your Michael Carricks to make everything work. And I feel like Jesse Lingard is that man.
Wow. Jesse Lingard. Jesse Lingard. I mean, we've all said it. He's good on Football Manager.
I mean, there are those question marks, Lawrence. Dave brings up Wayne Rooney, of course, which it's going to be fascinating to see how Rooney actually resolves that one. But I know they've made all these great signings that Dave talks about, but do you think overall the squad is strong enough to challenge who everyone perceives to be the top favourites for the title, Manchester City? Because, you know, they still have potentially issues in central midfield, certain positions in defence. Or do you think that new spine with Mourinho there, he's going to elevate players who underperformed last season, like Memphis Depay, for example, like Morgan Schneiderlin, and that's going to be the difference between, you know, what was a very disappointing season for them last season, really, and now challenging for the title?
I think that's the problem with the unpredictability of Mourinho. You don't know how he's going to gel with certain players. You know, everyone sort of thought, wow, wait until he gets his hands on Mata. No, you know, wait until he gets his hands into...
he did get his hands on Mata, subbed him off after five
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, what about Falcao? He'll bring it? No. And so there are certain players I think that Mourinho needs and wants, and I imagine he will have identified those. He surely will have said to United if he needed more players. And I doubt that they wouldn't have made that money available to him because, you know, they've just spent 100 million on Paul Pogba. Mm. I think he's looking to rekindle what Manchester United remember of themselves and all the massive club image, them being the biggest club in the world. And I think he's going to play into that. I think for that reason, he's hoping that a lot of the players will step up and come into that mould of that.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss.
That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sort of player, it's very similar, I think, to a lot of... I see a lot of similarities between the way United are building their team and the way that a lot of NBA sides build theirs. You know, Zlatan's that experienced veteran at this point who can give experience to the younger guys, show them how to, you know, improve their technique, show them how to get closer to goal, show them how to shoot, all those kind of things. Rooney's of a similar ilk. And then they've got a few guys in there who are younger and can pick that up very easily. I think it's a good balance to a squad. But the point is that Mourinho has to keep that balance. And there are times where Mourinho didn't balance it well enough. So you could probably question it either way. But I think early on, it will be very harmonious. I think this season, it'll be harmonious. Come next season, season three, it might not be the same because, you know, we know the Mourinho cycle.
I've gone for second, Dave. What did you go for?
Again, before I give a prediction of first position, I think United are going to win the league. I forgot one man, that's Jesse Lingard. Not Jesse Lingard, sorry. Marcus Rashford. How did I forget him? I don't know, but... if you can get that Marcus Rashford playing with Zlatan Ibrahimovic, that is a front two that has great balance. Either with whichever way you want to play it, whether it's Rashford off Zlatan and making the run from, you know, false number 10 forward, or whether you're playing Zlatan at 10 and Rashford ahead, I feel that could work against smaller teams in a 4-2-3-1 with Pogba as a left central midfielder. You know, you look at his chance conversion in the Premier League last season, it was around 53%. That was the best of any player. He exploded onto the scene. He exploded at the Euros when given the chance. And I feel like he's just going to continue his development. He may not play every week, but it doesn't matter. He's a young lad. He just needs to get that experience with Zlatan, you know, learn from Zlatan as much as he can. But I feel United, with the signings they've made, are going to win the league.
Wow. Bold prediction. Let's come on to Manchester City then, who are their main rivals, one would assume. I'm super excited to see Pep Guardiola in the Premier League, Lawrence. I don't know about you, but I'm expecting Man City to be so much better this season. They were awful last year, really clinging on to that Champions League spot with the last game of the season. Pep, I think everyone's expecting it to be a very different story. They've made astute signings. John Stones, incredibly expensive.
That's astute, isn't it?
But in terms of, they've also brought in these young players as well. So we're looking at, you know, Leroy Sané. I know it's expensive for a 19-year-old. Gabriel Jesus as well. Do you think they're going to... I mean, for me, they were going to win the title. I think Guardiola's going to elevate them so much that, you know, they will be champions. Are you on the same page? Or?
Yeah, I'm definitely on the same page. I think he's going to take that team up to another level. I think he's probably going to take some time to get them there, though I don't really think pre-season is an indicator of that, because a lot of people talking about, you know, the loss to Arsenal, those sort of things. I think when Pep is experimenting with players and players are coming back at different times because they're not up to Pep's standard of fitness, I think it's about weeding out a couple of people that maybe don't fit into that Pep Guardiola mould. Although I think this is the first side that he's probably come into where they've not been as disciplined as the Munich or the Barcelona side that he inherited. Although Barcelona apparently didn't have the best of disciplines, as I'm told, Ronaldinho. I think for that reason, Pep has a blueprint that he can sort of imprint on this side. And I just think with all the signings that he made with that blueprint, you'd imagine these people have been earmarked quite some time and probably had an inkling or an idea that they want to move to Man City in the end. I think it's about how we can upgrade those other players. You know, we saw Klopp upgrade a number of players at Liverpool just through the mentality change and the coaching that they received. I think it's going to be similar at City when we see, you know, the likes of Sterling, Silva, that back line as well. Joe Hart, I think, it's still a questionable aspect of that team. And I'm excited to see whether he rises or falls at this point. I think it's going to be a rise to Joe Hart. I'm positive about him. And the same for Raheem Sterling.
The defence is a big question, shaky, isn't it, Dave? Because Nicolas Otamendi, Eliaquim, Mangala, two of the most expensive defenders of all time, joined now by John Stones, of course. Obviously, very expensive signing, a player with a lot of potential. He plays out the back. That's what Guardiola likes. Is he just signing, though, to to fix the ills really they had last season, or do you think they needed someone more experienced in there?
No, I think John Stones is perfect. What Manchester City lacked at the back was someone with composure. They have the ball winners. They have the aggressive defender, the defender that will go and meet the ball. They didn't have the guy that's composed. They didn't have the guy that can pick the ball up and say, I'll do a Cruyff turn in my penalty area. I don't give a shit. I've just done three attackers and now I'm going to play a forward pass. That's who they didn't have. And that's who they've now got in John Stones. And I feel like Manchester City and Man United, they're going to be wanted. I've gone with United top and City second, but it could go either way. I feel that the reasons why...
Because I was going to say, I feel like their business has been good. When I talk about Shrewsbury, I'm talking about Gundogan, Nolito.
Yeah, okay, so go through the signings. Gundogan injured. Nolito, but adjusting to a new league, going from Spain to England is notoriously difficult. Leroy Sané, a player of such talent, injured.
I feel like they've added those.
I feel that's like
to the current squad as well, which is better than Man United.
I feel the issue is that the signings that they've made in the key cogs in Leroy Sané, in Gundogan, they are two key players for Guardiola. And because they're injured, it just gives City like a false start in a way. Mm. Like United are going to be flying out the blocks. Like they've heard the gun. City are going to be adjusting to this new style of football. Adjusting to Guardiola takes a little bit of time. You know, it took a bit of time at Bayern Munich. It took a bit of time at Barcelona, notoriously. I don't think he won for four games at Barcelona. That can't happen in the Premier League this season because it's so competitive. But what City do have in strength, we know what Aguero can do. Again, it's his fitness. And again, it's this Guardiola pushing players too hard. He can't do that with De Bruyne. He can't do that with Aguero. Because again, De Bruyne was so good when he played last season. Unbelievable. But he only played 25 games. And it's similar with Aguero. In and out, in and out, in and out. And I just need to, maybe it's something for Guardiola that he needs to evolve on his side is it's understanding of injuries and potentially not pushing people too hard. The midfield, though, when it's going to be flying, potentially of Toure, De Bruyne and Gundogan, it's going to be really good to watch. Or maybe even Fernandinho in there. Fernandinho is someone that Pep has already, you know, made him his pet. Pep's always does that. You know, Lahm, Xavi, Busquets. Now it's moved on to Fernandinho. I love that. I think Fernandinho is a wonderful footballer. Been played at centre-back a bit. But I don't imagine that's now going to be the case with John Stones in there. I think that was maybe a solution he was thinking about before actually going in and going, shit, let's spend $47 million on a world-class ball-playing centre-back. But Fernandinho is going to be crucial to Manchester City. Aguero is going to be... And I feel like Raheem Sterling and Joe Hart, I agree with Lawrence. I feel those two players have what it takes to make it under Guardiola. Both a little bit cocky. Both have a little bit of arrogance, but arrogance in a good way where you bring the style of football playing out the back or whether Sterling does play in the middle or left, out right, wherever. I feel like it's the right move not the right move for their careers because they're already there, but it's the right move that Guardiola's come in for those types of players.
Who have you got as champions, Lawrence?
Spurs. I've got to agree with Dave, actually. I'll go with Manchester United. I think they're an incredibly strong side this season. I think Mourinho, it's that first season under Mourinho, isn't it? I think a lot of people are forgetting how good Mourinho and how revolutionary he felt in so many times. And I think United are sort of feeling that same way. If they're not feeling that way, then we are all being suckered in by the intense advertising from Adidas on Twitter.
It's intense.
It's more than intense.
I'm surprised.
It's strange.
Strange or amazing?
Did you see the tweet they did today about how it was like that someone tweeted them saying, we all know who you're supporting in the Premier League this season, winky face, something like that. And they tweeted back saying, yeah, the Red Devils are only for us. They've properly allied themselves with the brand of Manchester United. Again, in the business perspective, that is really interesting for me as a United fan because it kind of means that Adidas have put all their eggs in one basket. But
they very much have
as well. They very much have.
And I think Adidas also don't really care that they're pissing anyone else off who supports an Adidas club in the Premier League.
It's strange, right? Do you not find that a little bit peculiar?
Well, I mean, Chelsea are on their way out.
True, fair point.
Looking for someone else, and I mean, I think Adidas, you know, they'll turn their back very quickly. It could come across as a little bit petty, and possibly short-termist. But I mean, ultimately, first never follows, Dave. So maybe Adidas is
first never follows,
or something.
Let's come on to your team, Lawrence. Liverpool. Oh. Jürgen Klopp's had his summer transfer window, of course.
Had a summer transfer window.
He's going to be looking to eradicate that inconsistency from last season.
They've gotten rid of some players who were inconsistent.
Are you hopeful? Are you thinking a top four challenge beckons?
I think Liverpool do expect a top four challenge this season. I think the fans expect the same, but I think they're quiet on it because they, you know, every season in recent years they've said the same. But I think they're quietly confident as a club because Klopp's a fantastic manager, and you know he's brought in a few players that you think would give Liverpool confidence. I think Karius, before he broke his hand, was another goalkeeper that was maybe a slight improvement on Mignolet. I think in the back line, Liverpool have struggled to put a centre-back pairing together, considering the issues they've had with Sacco, Lovren. Matip is probably going to be the starting guy this weekend, and maybe Lovren if he's fit, and possibly Clavan, who also seems like a very solid signing for Liverpool. But Liverpool are still weak at left-back, and I think that was a huge problem for them last season, was people were attacking inside the flanks, and Liverpool were very weak there. That's the reason Lucas hasn't been sold. It's the reason that they've struggled, I think, to put together consistency, and Klopp's been tasked with, you know, making this Liverpool side consistent. And yet he's a manager who thrives on the things which most people believe embody inconsistency out on the pitch. And I think at the same time, Liverpool fans are excited to see how consistently explosive this side can be. Mane, Sturridge, Coutinho, Firmino, just you name those four, and that's an exciting front line. Not least because, you know, you've got Emre Can, Grealish just behind that. You know, the consistency of someone like Milner, probably, although his passing needs to get better in order for that to happen. Liverpool have to improve in very in areas where I think Klopp is going to really focus this season. And that's before we've even mentioned any of the youth and excitement around that. Liverpool fans have shifted from the success to the excitement of Klopp. And I think it was very deflating last season when all that excitement went to the final. But it showed the instant impact of Jurgen Klopp. And that was the longest pre-season in many people's eyes that any manager's ever had.
I've gone for sixth.
Good God.
I'm afraid to say. Dave, what are you predicting?
Yeah, I think it's going to be sixth for Liverpool. I feel they'll put a good run together maybe at the end of the season. But I feel like the balance will start maybe a little bit wrong, you know. Again, they've got some injuries in centre-back. It looks like it's going to be Clavin and Lovren to start the first game. But I think the signings of Sadio Mane, you know, forget the fee. I think fees are out the window. I think that's a good signing for them. I think he's a very explosive player. Someone that they had trouble with beating Southampton because of Mane. And if they can get that Mane form, they'll give him another option. You know, look at the likes of Firmino, Coutinho, Lallana. It looks like they come to the ball a bit too much. Mane will come to the ball, but then he'll drive and he'll go. And he's a very different player, a different proposition. Coutinho needs to continue his improvement. You know, a player of great goals at the moment. Scores the bangers, scores the wonderful dribbles, but he needs to maybe just score a few more. He needs to... I think it's his decision-making. He shoots a little bit too much from outside the area. Sometimes it may be worth playing a 1-2. Sometimes it may be getting an assist. You know, it's that decision-making. But he's young, and he's young, a little bit inconsistent, but I feel it could be his year to step up under Klopp.
I think under Brendan Rodgers, a lot of people saw some big signings or signings that they thought, that's a piece, and that piece. And I think the issue with that was that a lot of people thought, we've got all those pieces now. I think what Klopp looked at and assessed when he came in with his squad, and a lot of people sort of thought, there's a lot of players that aren't of the Klopp ilk in this, et cetera, et cetera. He saw some gaps where he needed to add a couple of players and some quality players within there. The Emre Chans, I think he values Jordan Henderson in there as well. I also think what's interesting is in pre-season he's dropped Lallana a little bit deeper and he's found some success with that. So I think it's about the adaptability of a lot of these players as well. And I think Klopp enjoys that adaptability. We'll see how he plays on that because there's a lot of very exciting young players in there, not least Divock Origi.
The big man. Have you got a prediction?
I think he could get 15 goals this season. I think they'll finish fourth, and I think there'll be some exciting goals.
We come on to a fascinating one now. The champions themselves, Leicester City. There was a bit of doom and gloom. There's talk about the side being dismantled, but they've kept hold of Jamie Vardy, Dave. They've kept hold of Riyad Mahrez. They've told him he's not leaving in this window. Yes, Kante's gone. Obviously, a crucial part of their title win season last year. They've brought in Mendy to strengthen the midfield. They've also brought in Ahmed Musa, who's looked good in pre-season up front. Now, do you think they're going to be able to challenge for the top four? Or do you think it's accepted that, you know, with the strength of the league as it is now, with all these new managers coming in, with every team strengthening so much that they're going to struggle to get anywhere near what they achieved last season, and it could well be a sort of mid-table finish for them.
Yeah, I think it will be. I think that last season was an anomaly, but it was a great anomaly. It was an anomaly we all enjoyed. Seeing a team work so hard and win the league was brilliant. Brilliant for everybody. Not just like football fans. You saw people on your Facebook feed that didn't give a shit about football 2 months ago. They were like, oh, Leicester City, great buzz. But now it's time for Leicester City to potentially consolidate what they've got. They're in the Champions League. That's massive. That's so cool. I think they'll do well in the Champions League. I think even push for the quarters, because they play that style of football that's gritty, that's done well in the Champions League in recent seasons. You look at Atletico Madrid, how well they've done. Leicester City is a different style of counter-attacking, but it's very similar to that. Ahmed Musa is a fantastic signing. I'm a massive fan of Ahmed Musa. Strange that no other club went for him, but Leicester City got their man, and a fantastic bit of business. Again, it's integrating him into the side. Where does he fit in? How do you fit him into the system? Potentially looking to go for a 4-3-3 could be the answer for them then. You've got Mahrez, you've got Musa on one side, and Jamie Vardy through the middle. That could be a good option, because that would also accommodate Mendy, who played at the base of Nice's midfield diamond last season, completed the second most passes in Ligue 1 last season behind Thiago Motta with a 92% pass accuracy. So he'll be the key cog in there, but I feel like he's got to be at the base of the midfield three. So you want to throw Danny Drinkwater in there, then maybe someone like Andy King, or they could look for another central midfielder to put in there. But I feel like Leicester City, to continue this great run, to continue this momentum, need to switch it up tactically a little bit. I feel like teams will start to find them out. We saw in their Community Shield that they did come back, but I wasn't too impressed with their midfield too, and Andy King and Danny Drinkwater didn't complement each other, didn't really work out. So I feel like switching to a midfield three could get the best out of Jamie Vardy. We'll put Mahrez further up the pitch. Will be a different proposition, and Ahmed Musa is so good on the counter-attack. So if they can get Musa, Vardy and Mahrez linking together, that's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be interesting to see how wide they are as well, how much width that team goes for and how blatantly they go for width. I think it's fascinating.
I've gone for eighth. What are you saying, Dave?
I've gone ninth, I think. Let me just double check. I've got ninth position. I feel like Champions League is going to be where Leicester City have their party.
Okay. Hull City next.
Just turning up, not really there for the football. Literally just make up numbers at this point. I feel so sorry for Hull.
Bad for the fans, yeah. I mean, they basically need new owners desperately.
Fans you feel for, innit?
But as it stands, without a manager, I think they're going into the season with 13 fit senior players. Has anyone not got them at the bottom of their table prediction?
Not really, no.
No.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Tigers. Yeah, you're out of here.
Yeah, it's sad because they're looking to sell, but they're not going to sell in time. And the fact is, you can't sell a club that looks like that. And really, they've gone. You know, when you want to sell a house, you put the smell of baked bread around it. This squad does not smell of baked bread.
It doesn't. Mohamed Diame's gone to Newcastle. One of their best players, has to be said. And they've only brought in Will Mannion from AFC Wimbledon. I mean, Steve Bruce leaving the court. If Steve Bruce was still there, you'd think, you know, maybe he can guide them to safety, essentially. Get them away, or at least another season in the league. But without him, without any manager at all. And talk of Zola coming in, I believe,
Jesus.
You don't hold much hope for them, do you, Dave?
I don't think so. I think, there's an issue. There's not been any signings. They've lost their manager, who has done very well with them. Steve Bruce did a fantastic job at Hull, a yo-yo club, but he did very well at yo-yoing. It's just a shame that he's left. Obviously, there's big discontent around him. He had 12 first-team players when he sacked it off. And what are you supposed to do? Like, your reputation's on the line here, and your board's not done anything that's apparently got investment. And it's just really sad for Hull fans. I feel sorry for them, but I can't see it. Maybe, you know, a bit of fight with Jake Livermore and Tom Hoddleston, but What else have you got there? You've not got a lot. You've got players that have already failed in the Premier League, and that's the thing. You know, they did get relegated. They did come straight back up, but it was the same squad that got relegated. They haven't changed that. They've actually lost some of those players, so it's not looking good for them at all.
Bottom of the table then for Hull, I think we're all predicting. Let's move on to Everton. Now, not good enough last season. Roberto Martinez has gone, got himself a job as the Belgian manager. Ronald Koeman coming in after a very strong season with
Southampton. Isn't that ridiculous, by the way?
What, he's Belgian manager?
You thought I did at Everton?
I got this, guys. You know your problem with your defenders? I could sort that right out.
I mean, I know John Stones is gone, but they got a lot of money for that. They bought in Ashley Williams, an experienced centre-back. The new owners means that they're, you know, potentially they could bring in a few more signings before the window closes. We have to see if Lukaku does indeed go, but it looks like at the moment he's going to stay. Drissa Gueye is a good signing from Aston Villa. The signing of Ronald Koeman in itself is a statement of intent in many ways. Steve Walsh coming in from Leicester. I mean, things are looking up for Everton. Do you think that's going to translate, Lawrence, into them finishing higher up the table than they did last season, last year at 11th? You expect them to finish in the top half and push, you know, for a Europa League place.
So I've just eaten a Barocca.
Ooh,
love a Barocca. No, and I mean eaten. I put one of the tablets in my mouth.
Lawrence, mate, are you all right? You were
fine.
Talking about bread and then you ate a Barocca. Are you a bit hungry, pal?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. You know what, Dave? I feel like Everton are as hungry as I am. They've been waiting for this for quite some time, to be bought and then to have a manager in that not only do they respect, but other people respect. It's a hark back to the old Everton days, the days of, you know, the team of science, I think, and logic that a lot of people laud. And it's incredibly exciting, I think, for Everton to have that side now. So let's see what they can do under Koeman. They're going to be quite defensive, with some really exciting attackers in that formation. So I think it's how creative those attackers can be and how much freedom Koeman gives them. We've seen what he did at Southampton. It's whether he can mimic that, sort of take that a step further at Everton. And I think with the talent that they've got up front, it's going to be really exciting to watch this Everton team, especially against some of the top four sides, when I think Koeman's going to relish sort of taking of scalps.
I've gone for 9th. 2 bases better than last season. Dave, what are you saying?
I've gone for 8th, actually. I feel like I'm going to drop just behind Southampton, Ronald Koeman's old club. I think Koeman's an interesting manager. I feel like before he has failed in world football before. Benfica, Valencia failed. Southampton, the system really helped him. And it's the test now. This is the test now. This is the big test. Everton, where the system isn't as good in support for him, can he cut the mustard? I think the thing that will be interesting with Everton is their wide forwards will score more goals. We saw with Southampton that's one way that they scored a lot of their goals, those inside runs. So you're looking at the players like De La Feu, maybe Morales, maybe Ross Barkley playing in a wide position. We'll get the goals for them. So
it's going to be fascinating to see what Barkley does this season, isn't it?
Yeah, again, a player that started very well and dropped off, but Koeman does pretty well with those types of players. You know, Sadio Mane is your ball playing central midfielders that like to move an attack on, let's say. So yeah, it's going to be interesting, but again, he's going to have to fit his midfield. Is James McArthur going to hold? Is he going to play Gareth Barry? At the back, he signed Ashley Williams. Drissa Gueye will probably come in and play. I'm a massive fan of him, great at winning the ball back. Only N'Golo Kanté was better than him at that last season in terms of interceptions and tackles won in the Premier League. They've still got the likes of Leighton Vane, Seamus Coleman, so they do have the right sort of squad, but then it's a test. It's a big test for Ronald Koeman, and it's going to be fascinating to see whether he fails or passes.
Crystal Palace, guys. Last season finished 15th, dropped pretty dramatically in the second half of the season under Pardew, but they've made some good signings, Lawrence, in those key areas. Steve Mandanda coming in from Marseille on a free transfer.
And a good signing, of course.
I like Mandanda, no?
Yeah, he's a decent keeper, but he's not. He'll struggle in the Premier League. He's not a Premier League goalkeeper. You need Premier League goalkeepers, right? They need to command their area. They need to be really confident. They need to be able to be good at holding the ball. Mandanda's just like he's a fun reaction type goalkeeper. He'll make loads of really good saves, but the mistakes will be there. The fuck ups will be there. So it's
sure a fun than, Wayne Hennessy was it? They had
yeah, Wayne Hennessy was very good last season in spells. Again, made a few stinky mistakes. You know, if you remember the Jermaine Defoe one, came off his line, kicked the ball straight at Jermaine Defoe.
What about James Tompkins then? What about Andros Townsend? Are these sort of signs going to help them improve?
What happened to Andros Townsend last season? Got relegated. James Tompkins
didn't really.
This is the thing. This is like, it's like
they're missing West, goal scorer, but
it's like West Brom versus Palace, isn't it? The sort of teams that are on that cusp of nearly dropping down. And for me, I've got a big feeling that it's going to be Crystal Palace who are going to fall. I don't think they've got the caliber. I don't think they've got enough quality to stay up in the Premier League.
Dave,
I've gone for 12th. What are you going for?
Dave?
I've got my seats, mate. They're down.
Wow, that's the biggest difference so far, I think.
You think the wheels are just going to fall off a path? He talks a big game.
He does.
But you can't back it up, is what you're saying.
That is kind of what I'm saying. You know, he talks today when he came out and said, we're going to play like Barcelona. But did you watch Crystal Palace last season? They were so far away from Barcelona.
Yeah, but surely they're not going to...
So let's get the stats out. Let's not mess about here. Let's pretend that we're talking about... But if you look at the stats in terms of... From the 26th of December last season to the end of the season, they picked up two wins. That was 1-0 against Norwich and 2-1 against Stoke. They're in really bad form. They've not changed enough. So in that time, they got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 draws. But in that same time, the defeats were coming. There's 9... 11, 12 defeats in that period. They were in terrible, terrible form. They didn't win in about... Crazy. I just feel like with Pards, the party ends. That dance in the FA Cup final is costing.
That was quite something, wasn't it?
You know what? I'm not against that. I just sort of think... Pardew, and I said this last season, he's a manager who ignites egos. And if he can get this team of egos together, they'll have some good results. But it plays out the same every season with Pardew. People like, Pardew won't do it, Pardew won't do it. Early on in the season, he'll have a team of people who are very highly motivated, very driven, and you know they'll get some really good results. Like you've said, Steve Mandanda will keep an Arsenal or a Liverpool or a Man City out for an entire game. Everyone will go, what a goalkeeper, look what he's brought out of them. But then the week after... there'll be something terrible that happens because Pardew can't quite find the, you know, the ego of whichever player it is that he's trying.
I'm surprised by this, Dave. I am surprised by this. I've got to say. I feel they're going to be safe. I know Bolasie could well be on his way to Everton, which would be a blow. But if they do get Benteke, if they get someone who can get them in regular goals, I think they'll be fine. They'll be away from that relegation zone. I've gone for 12th. Fair enough, you've gone for 18th. Let's move on.
Got to be bold. I've got to alienate.
I like your style. Let's go for Chelsea. Obviously, Conte making a big impression at the Euros. High hopes for Chelsea fans. They've signed N'Golo Conte, one of the best players last season. Question marks over Batshuayi, of course, and some of the other underachieving players from last season. Is Conte, is the hammer, as he's called in Italy, is he going to come in and revitalise the squad, Lawrence? Is he going to get them into the top four, which is what many Chelsea fans are hoping and predicting?
It'll either be a resurgent run into the top four, or it'll be a resurgent run towards the top four followed by a massive explosion.
You just feel like it could go either way, this one, don't you? One or the other.
Yeah, because you don't know. I mean, Conte's literally shouting on the sideline, I will fucking kill you.
You'd make that tackle if someone was threatening you, Lawrence.
Oh, dear.
I mean, you would, Dave, but at the end...
You'd have to, right? Or you're dead.
But in the end, I think the issue with Conte is that he's also... He's so intense on the players. It is so intense on them for an entire season. I think some players really enjoy that. But I don't know if he's had enough time to bring in all the players that he needs for that and whether he has players who are going to go to war with him or whether he just has players who are kind of going to walk there and then go, not so sure this is my sort of thing. For a short time, you know, it's the same with kind of a strict teacher at school. You know, for a short time, you're sort of like, okay, I think I can do this. If you got them for an entire term, it breaks you a little bit because every day you go back. He's either going to galvanize this side in a way that Mourinho did, but also didn't. I think that's also a real issue for Conte. This is an ex-Mourinho side. And we know how volatile ex-Mourinho teams can be, how not loyal, but sort of used to certain ways. I think it's going to be really fascinating to see whether Conte's, not only his tactics, I think his tactic, and most people think his tactics are sound, I think it's the psychology of Conte that's going to be testing.
I'm going to go, I've got down 5th here. I think they'll challenge, but I think 5th place, I think they're going to be much improved on last season, not hard, of course. Dave, what are you saying?
So I think Lawrence made some solid points about Conte, about how it's going to take a bit of time. It could really go either way. You know, the best manager to have post Mourinho is Carlo Ancelotti because he calms everyone down. Conte's basically like another Mourinho, but in a very different way psychologically. You know, it's screaming at you. It's getting you pumped. It's not turning. It's not making you believe you're the best. It's screaming at you until you are the best. But there's questions over Conte's midfield. There's questions in the Conte signing. I love the Conte signing. I think Conte's a brilliant player, but he's a player that suits a two-man midfield. Conte from the start has been playing a three-man midfield.
Wait, Conte or Kante?
Sorry, Kante.
Yeah.
Kante. Sorry, so Kante suits a two-man midfield. He's been playing as a three-man midfield. There's also questions about he's been playing four at the back. You know, if I was Conte, I'd be like three at the back straight away. The issue with that is I was picking the Chelsea team today. So you've got Courtois in goal if you're going to play 3-5-2. Yeah, your right centre-back would be Kurt Zouma. Middle centre-back would be John Terry. Great. Left centre-back, there's nobody there. And that's the issue. You're going to midfield, it works in an absolute charm. Matic is holding, he's going to run the show for me. Kante is going to be the right central midfielder, let's say. Willian with the left central midfielder. On the left wing back, you're going to go Azpilicueta. Right wing back, Cuadrado. Then you play Hazard off Diego Costa. That's a team and a half, right? But the issue is that left centre-back slot, but they're not doing that. And Conte's moved away from the 3-5-2. I don't know why. He fell onto the 3-5-2 at Juventus because he realised he had three really good midfielders. Chelsea have midfielders that suit three-man midfield, bar Kante, I'd say. Cesc Fabregas doesn't fit a Conte system, just doesn't fit at all. And that's why I put Willian ahead of him in there, playing like a attacking midfield role, a central midfield. But if I were him, I'd sell Fabregas straight away and I'd look to get a left centre-back. Switch to 3-5-2, and I think Chelsea will kick on there. I just feel like this 4-4-2, this 4-3-3 that he's been trying hasn't really kicked off in pre-season. So, and I think putting Hazard behind a striker is perfect. So that's why the 3-5-2 for me works. Just not doing it at the moment. Why has he not signed Giaccarini yet as well?
Yes, why indeed. They're looking for, is it Koulibaly from Napoli?
Koulibaly, yeah, a very, very good defender, but we've been playing mostly been playing in a back two flat four for a while. So I think with the 3-5-2 in those wide centre-back positions, I think Zouma can do it because Zouma can play right-back, but you need a player in those two positions that's comfortable at playing left-back and centre-back in a way. You know, you look at Chiellini, does that. Barzagli was a right-back at the start of his career, moved to centre-back. That's what you kind of need. You need a player like Samuel Umtiti, you know, the perfect player for Chelsea in a way. Have John Terry, Zouma and Titi, but unfortunately Titi now plays for one of the biggest teams in the world, so they're going to have to look elsewhere. But I think a 3-5-2 is optimum for Chelsea.
What position did you have, Dave?
I've got Chelsea in fourth. It was a flip-up between... I didn't know what to do with Spurs, Liverpool and Chelsea. So I've gone Chelsea, Spurs, Liverpool, but that very much well could be Spurs, Chelsea, Liverpool or Liverpool, Spurs, Chelsea. You know, this is the thing with that part of the league. It's very difficult.
Fair dues. Burnley, I've gone for 19th.
Snap.
Yes, we finally agreed on one. We got.
Why do you choose Snap on this one? What's your reasoning?
Again, they come up with a team that's pretty much, it's the same team that came up last time with a few different players. And Andre Gray is a very good player, but he has questions at this higher level. Go back to the five games last season, they played the top championship clubs and the Premier League club in the League Cup, I think it was. 5 games, 0 goals.
I hope they can avoid relegation. I love Sean Dyche. I think he does a brilliant job there. But yeah, I think, like Dave's saying, there's question marks over the squad. They've struggled in the transfer market as well to attract players. So, you know, I just can't see them finishing outside the relegation zone. Can you, Lawrence?
I think it's tricky. The Premier, you know, we spoke about how Arsene Wenger 20 years ago, 25, almost 30 years ago now, changed the Premier League. And I think it'll take another iteration now with Pep Guardiola coming in. And I think it's really been moving in that direction anyway. We're going to see a lot of pressing. We're going to see something I think some other teams might struggle to keep up with. And I think that's the issue maybe for Burnley here, is they're going to struggle to keep up with the other sides. That's no disrespect to them as a side. I just think it's maybe too early for Burnley to come up and not be able to spend some money to be able to keep up with everyone else. The problem for them is maybe that other people have spent to get even further ahead. The only way that I think Burnley will stay up is if there are other sides within that who crumble. Eventually Burnley then claw their way to get up to those guys, which is very similar to maybe what Sunderland did last season, and maybe Newcastle were looking to do as well with a squad that really looked like it should have gone down anyway.
19th years then for Burnley.
Sad.
Bournemouth.
excitement.
Yeah, they did brilliantly
last season. Eddie Howe, signings, money, investment. Still have a small stadium, though, guys.
You got a slightly overpriced Jordan Ibe, arguably.
No, it's a reasonably priced Jordan Ibe. Jordan Ibe will look fantastic. There's Lewis Cook there, obviously, who some other people are saying is going to be one of the players of the season. I think Jordan Ibe's going to be incredibly exciting. I can't wait to see him pair up with the strikers there. It'd be great to see Wilson back. I think it'd be really exciting. You know, Eddie Howe is continuing the project there, and I think he's analysed and thought on the Premier League. He's had the right amount of time away, as is his team, and now they're coming back. They're looking very exciting. Jordan Ibe is the centre of that.
I think they'll be able to improve on last season as well. They finished 16th. I've gone for 14th for their finish this year. I like him. Everyone loves Eddie Howe. Everyone likes what they're putting together there. They've got some decent signings, as we said. Dave, what are you saying?
Unfortunately,
no.
All the fans, I don't think they're going to do as well as they did last season. I feel like it's going to be a second season syndrome for them. I've in fact got them at 17th. I think they're just going to survive relegation. Oof. So yeah, they've made some half-decent signings, but I just feel it kind of feels like they fit into the category that did well the first time. It's going to be a different battle this time, similar to Watford. It's going to be a tough slog, but I reckon they'll stay up.
That is the problem with them, isn't it? Is there, you know, it's either going to be a really well galvanised young side. And I think that even the BT highlights that we see on YouTube at the moment show some where they're saying, you know, this was a historic win for Bournemouth. I think we need to put it into that perspective that this is still a relatively small side that are taking baby steps, and Eddie Howe's fantastic at that. You know, the problem is there's a lot of goodwill towards them, and sometimes that can skew how you see them as a side. So let's see if that goodwill translates onto the pitch.
Finally, we come the only natural ending point for a Premier League preview. It's Arsenal, guys. Last season, of course, second to Leicester. It's another hard one to work out, Dave. Granit Xhaka's come in, £35 million. He had something in midfield for them. Not necessarily the defensive midfielder that the fans are crying out for. Again, they're also crying out for that striker, that 20-goal-a-season striker to back up Giroud or maybe even start ahead of Giroud. The final year of Arsene Wenger's contract, I was expecting him to bring out the checkbook to buy those big players. You know, despite all the evidence pointing the other direction, do you think, again, as always, they're going to finish in the top four, or do you think, with the quality of the league, they're going to struggle this season?
No, I think Arsenal are the team that everyone's been like, oh, I like Arsenal. They've not made any signings. But Arsenal came, was it third last season? Second last season.
Second
last season. They did implode themselves. They did an Arsenal. But I feel like they're the team that people are going to be like, oh, it's just Arsenal. And they're going to be the ones that are going to be abrasive. They're going to want something. They want to fight. You know, people are underrated now. People are like, oh, Arsenal, they're nothing. They're not going to even get in the top four. I feel like it's good for this current crop of Arsenal players. They have something to prove. And I also feel like they've kind of got the strike already there. I've said it thousands of times. Maybe Arsenal needs to start listening to the front three and maybe he can sort his tactics out. But Alexis Sanchez... yeah. Could be the guy that can score 20.
It's not going to happen, though, is it?
You look at Olivier Giroud at the European Championships. Look, playing with such confidence, such flair.
There's one touch passes, bringing people into play. Why? Because he was next to someone that could take the pressure off. Because he was next to a goal scorer. Because he was next to one of the best number 10s in world football, and Antoine Griezmann. Not a traditional number 10, but a goal scoring number 10. That's what Sanchez could do behind Giroud. Or even play Sanchez with Ramsey behind him if they want to, you know, stick another midfield there in the bigger games. But I feel that Giroud and Sanchez could be a great partnership with Mesut behind. That's a really good front three. A front three that tactically would be a little bit different than what we used to Arsenal in the Premier League. No, a midfield diamond I'd go with. Xhaka at the base, Cazorla, Ramsey the side, Mesut at the peak of it. You know, where's the width going to come from, you ask? Oh, that's not a problem there. Because Arsenal, for me, had the two best fullbacks in the league last season. Monreal at left-back, Bellerin at right-back. Look at Bellerin's stats. He's coming on as a footballer. Why he's getting linked to Barcelona? Because he's really improving. No defender registered more assists than Bellerin in the Premier League last season. But also, he dribbled past more players than any other Premier League defender. So he's really giving something on that right-hand side. So I feel if they do switch to this narrow system, but also Sanchez can drift left, right, whatever the hell he wants, Bellerin and Monreal will give them their width higher up the pitch. And I feel that could be a system that would catch out the likes of Manchester City, catch out Manchester United, and ultimately get Arsenal to third in the Premier League.
Third? I've gone for fourth. Lawrence, what are you saying?
I think Arsenal finish just ahead of the likes of Liverpool and Chelsea. So I think it's that consistency that I think they'll find. It's all the huge centre-back issue with them, isn't it? Can they fix that issue?
Mustafi looks like he's on the way, yeah.
Yeah, but not just one, is it? It's about having more rotation of centre-backs. I mean, ideally you'd have four people. It's an option at centre-back, right?
Yeah, what? Gabriel, Koscielny, Mertesacker and Mustafi.
And how many of those are fit?
None of them, probably.
Mustafi starting in it as part of a back three then?
Yeah, oh God, I don't know.
It's going to be interesting in the first week. I think, you know, when they get it together, that'll be fantastic. But they've got to wait. Again, Arsenal are waiting on yet more injuries.
I just feel it's going to be the same as always. I'm looking forward to seeing Xhaka. I think Xhaka's a good signing. But, you know what happened. The fans will be furious by Christmas that they never signed that striker that it feels like they've been desperate for so long. They'll have an implosion, as Dave Sainz did last year, and they'll finish in the top four. Fourth, probably, and we'll see if Wenger stays on next season.
I think they'll have some early bad results, and then I think they'll be, and then I think it'll go, we've signed someone, they'll get someone, and then after that, then what?
Just as a little note on Mustafi,
go on.
The Mustafi Koscielny relationship would be absolutely perfect. You know, a very, very good little partnership that would be, and that, again, is one of the reasons why, you know, you're looking at third position for me, is because that's it. That's the missing cog for me. I feel like they've got that goal scorer still in their squad, but it just needs that centre-back to partnership. Because, yeah, I feel they've sorted the defence in the field out. Xhaka is a horrible bastard. Like, he actually is. He puts in some dirty tackles, like proper leg breakers. But that's what Arsenal need. They need a bit of grit, a bit of determination. So I just feel they've got it with Mustafi coming in. Feel like kind of like the right thing for Arsenal. And again, I'd love to see Arsenal win the Premier League. Just because of, you know, if it's not United, I'd quite like Arsenal. Because Wenger will be like, hey, foreign managers, this is my town.
Jeez. I just can't see that happening, mate. Can't see that happening, I'm afraid to say. That is our whopper Premier League prediction, guys. All 20 teams previewed. We've given our predictions. Do let us know on Twitter what you think at the front three with the number, not the word. Who do you think are going to be champions? Who's finishing in the top four? Who's getting relegated? Apart from Hull City, of course. For now, though, we're going to be back on Sunday, I believe, as always, the regular programming. Sundays and Wednesdays, we'll be back. Talk about all the weekend's action, which should be super exciting.
Well, one thing we can ask is that over the next few weeks, we're moving podcast provider.
Yes.
So we're moving to another cool place. Very little will change, don't worry. But if you guys do happen to get unsubscribed, just you can find us again on iTunes.
Shouldn't happen. We are assured.
It probably won't happen.
Yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Just follow us. You know,
just follow us on Twitter. That's the easiest way to do it. For now, though, Lawrence, pleasure as always. Where can good people find you until Sunday?
I'll see you over the weekend on Lawrence Cast and at the front three.
Beautiful, Dave.
What should we do this time? Twitter, Facebook.
Just Twitter, Dave. Come on,
Twitter. Let's do YouTube. Dave Talks. Find it, love it, comment on it.
Do that. Guys, come over to the Football Republic on YouTube to check us all out. Lots of preview stuff going out over the weekend.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So I hope you enjoyed that. For now, though, we'll see you next time on the Front Three.